Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today is good friend James Montemagno.
Hey, it's so good to be back. It's so good to be back. I'm so excited. It's been, what, almost a year, I think?
Has it been that long?
Almost.
Oh my God,
almost,
time
yeah.
Flies.
I'm so excited.
James, about a year ago, I guess, we did a Xamarin Marathon. We are here to do another Xamarin Marathon.
Yeah, like a plethora of different episodes.
We have four episodes in mind, which will put you firmly in the lead for person most on the show.
Well, it's an honor and a privilege on this side.
I'm very excited about this. So we're going to do Xamarin Forms, the iOS Designer, CocoaSharp, and Xamarin Insights.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Probably in that order, but of course we reserve the right to post them in any order we see fit.
I think so. In this series, last time we did like a 1, 2, 3, 4 walking through building an application and tying to Azure Mobile Services and Sync. This one's kind of like go wherever you want, choose your own adventure type of experiment. Yeah.
All right. We will have links to the previous episodes, a lot of resources, Xamarin University, your blog, et cetera, your Twitter account, on and on, documentation. We'll put all that stuff up. Got a few slides. We'll keep that to a minimum.
Always.
And we're going to start with Xamarin Forms, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, when I talk to people about Xamarin, which I do all the time, I talk about the biggest benefit of Xamarin is that you can write one code base across iOS, Android, Windows Store, Windows Phone, etc., and have a single code base. That's the good news. The downside is, yes, you probably have to write the UI multiple times, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, code, business logic, data logic, code that makes things happen, being able to write it once in C# and share it is great. But then you kind of wonder, wouldn't it be nice if you could just write the UI once as well?
Live the dream. Have like the silver bullet type of like everything. It's all native. I think that's what everyone wants too.
So Xamarin Forms is, correct me if I'm wrong, is sort of a first attempt at what that could look like.
Yeah.
Is that underselling it too much?
Yeah, I mean, I think really kind of undersell, overdeliver in a sense.
Okay. You know,
Xamarin Forms is a great name for it because it's exactly its purpose. I mean, think about in the enterprise where you have all this data, you know, in this database and you're pulling it down from Azure and you want to display it in a list, you want to modify it quickly, save it back up. You're like, why do I have to write the list over and over again and the entry boxes and things like that?
Your basic design of the UI of the app doesn't change dramatically. It's not like, oh, on the iPhone we'll have a list, but on the Android devices we'll have a table.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on the Windows we'll do something else.
Yeah.
It's lists and buttons.
Lists
and text
buttons.
Boxes.
Yeah.
And
then there's even similar paradigms between everything. So there's a tab view and there's tab views or even pivot controls. And then you have, you know, like little tab sliders and you have a little bit of everything exactly the same between each platform.
Right.
So the idea behind Xamarin Forms is take everything that's common across all these platforms and put them into a unified UI abstraction, really, if you think of it that way. But the best part about Xamarin Forms is that it's actually rendering and displaying the native controls.
Yep.
So we're not hand-drawing anything. We're like, this is a button, and this is an Android button, and this is an iOS button under the hood, and we control the entire management for you.
Which is basically what you're doing with the code.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Now, and this is... it's not for every application out there because there's some applications that you're going to want to add tons of complex animations or you need like the most beautiful thing in the entire world out there. And and you can get down and customize a lot in Xamarin Forms, but then you're just applying a lot of extra work.
Right.
I love Xamarin Forms for like rapid prototyping, being able to just write my business logic and then throw a few buttons in a list and test it immediately is super powerful. And then obviously things like we wrote the Evolve application in it for our conference. I wrote it, actually. Or just like I said, the data entry is like what you see over and over again as I'm pulling down lists of data, displaying it, et cetera, et cetera.
So it really kind of depends on what you're after. The OneDrive team explicitly decided that they wanted the absolute best experience on all platforms. So they decided on purpose to go native on all three. Write the app three times. Test it three times, and they made that decision, which is a great decision. Not everybody can afford that.
Yeah.
if you want to enter expenses or enter contacts, you know, that's a perfect example of something that you would really wonder why you're writing the same UI three times. And then there's a continuum in between. right? This gives you the ability to decide.
And the nice thing here is you still have your business logic. So it's not like Xamarin Native development is gone anywhere. So the approach that you could do, even like the OneDrive team, could have wrote a complete .NET backend, all their business logic, and then still crafted a beautiful user interface for iOS, Android, and Windows using Xamarin, because we give you access to 100% of the APIs and all the UI widgets as well. So you still have access to all that. Now, Xamarin Forms is, think of it just another tool in your Visual Studio Toolbox.
There you go.
Right? So that's really all it is. You can kind of choose, I'm going into this type of application, this is what I want to build. Mm-hmm. What makes more sense, Xamarin Native development or Xamarin Forms? Okay. And the nice thing here is if you're building and architecting in an MVVM way, which I think we're probably used to at this point, hopefully, it's like MVC, just more Vs, more Ms. And if you structure your code to really abstract your business logic away, then it doesn't matter if you go Xamarin Forms or Xamarin Native route, because all of that logic will be shared.
Right, exactly.
It's just your UI. What do you want to do for it?
Yep.
And that's where Xamarin Forms can help out.
Cool.
So, got a few slides, mostly kind of describing this architecture, which is, this is the Xamarin Native approach, which we've seen and we talked about on previous VS Toolbox episodes. So that shared C# backend right here, this is all of your business logic, your models, view models, pulling down stuff from Azure and RESTful service calls. And this is where all your .NET goodness lives.
Right.
This is on Windows, powered by .NET, .NET runtime, and then a mono runtime for iOS and Android. And then, of course, these bits up here of the purple, green, and blue, this is not only the UI layer that's separate, but also any platform-specific call. So maybe you need to tap into text-to-speech, or maybe you need to tap in and do animations that are very complex, or some custom library to do VoIP, right? You know, you need to implement those.
Or explicitly targeting iBeacons or something that's unique to the platform.
Exactly, exactly. So where Xamarin Forms comes in is it kind of takes the whole concept, but just kind of pushes that UI layer and the platform specific a little bit less, because you probably need less of it if you're building a type of forms application.
Mm-hmm.
So on the bottom, we still have our shared C# backend. Boom. Everything exactly the same. This could be the exact same code. Then the Xamarin Forms is that cross-platform UI layer. So Xamarin Forms is that UI layer. It has an MVVM framework built in, so data binding and messaging services and dependency services, which allow you to get down into platform-specific code. Which is kind of nice, because if you did need to actually access something on the specific device, you can still do it.
Right.
You can get down into it. And then you can also customize the controls as well. But the important part is you can, you know, they're all native. So it's all native 100% of the way.
Cool.
So that's kind of the outline. So like I said, this is Xamarin Forms, but there's a lot more there. We have built in, we're going to show off today, it's a lot of codes. We just have a few slides for the base groundwork. But there's 40 plus pages, layouts, and controls.
Mm-hmm.
And you build these in C# or in XAML.
Okay.
Now, it's still XAML, so it's built against a 2009 spec, we believe, which is actually higher than the 2006 spec that Windows Phone and other ones use. So we get to take advantage of some cool features. But this is our XAML. You know,
okay.
This is not, you can't just take your existing Windows Phone XAML and bring it over.
It looks pretty similar, but it's not 100% the same. It is an extensible application markup language. It's not literally the same syntax is what we're using.
Exactly. Well, it is and it isn't. It's just our types, right?
Okay.
So instead of a a stack panel, you have a stack layout.
Mm-hmm.
So our names, basically,
right,
of the controls, which when you think about it is kind of good, because you do want to bring some things over, but not all the controls are going to exist. So you wouldn't want to just bring over your XAML and everything breaks and you're so confused.
Mm-hmm.
And then some features we might not have that are implemented. But we do have support for like triggers and data binding and styles, which we'll see today.
Behaviors
as well, which are just added.
Yep.
And of course your binding. So that's a big important part too. Two-way data binding built in. We have a navigation scheme that goes across all platforms from shared code. We actually have an animation API, so you can move things around, all async awaitified, which uses the platform's animation system. Like I said, a dependency service and a messaging center. The Xamarin Forms team really thought about, well, what are developers using today? Well, they're using MVVM for Windows applications,
right,
WPF applications. Let's build a framework that in a toolkit that they'll be familiar with. So if you're coming from this world of just doing Windows Phone or WPF applications, you this is all going to look familiar to you.
It's pretty easy to pick up the basics.
Exactly. And and in general, when I even talk to developers that maybe have never seen MVVM, once I describe some data binding, they're like, oh, that makes so much sense. Like this label just goes, this text goes here, and you're like, great, you know? So a few of the pages that we have here, so we have a few different pages that are cross-platform, such as a navigation page, a tabbed control, a carousel control, and a master detail like flyout page. So some basics there. Mm-hmm. And then you describe how you want to lay out your content. You can think of it like a node system. You have your pages, you have your layouts, and you have your controls. So it's really powerful. So we have a grid system, cross-platform, relative layouts, stack layouts, absolute layouts, and you can mix and match all these together. And Xamarin Forms under the hood is figuring out all the hard bits right. for you, you know, yep. in general. And of course, there's the controls. So we have about, like I said, 40 plus pages, layouts and controls. Some things you'll see: button, labels, list mm-hmm. view, progress bars, sliders. We also have a cross-platform map as well, which uses Apple Map, Bing Maps, and Google Maps, specifically on each platform, which is important. That's an add-on to it as well, because there's other services that come in when you start introducing maps.
And you can write custom controls.
You can. So this little area in the bottom right, I always like to leave it blank. It actually wasn't intentional, but it's kind of good because you can actually bring in your own custom controls. Okay. And you can actually add two-way data binding as well. Kind of just as if you were doing this in WPF or Windows Phone with different bindable properties.
A growing, vibrant ecosystem of control vendors.
There is. Well. Yeah, we've worked extremely hard with like DevExpress, SyncFusion, mm-hmm. Component One, Infragistics, and they're bringing their own cross-platform bar charts, grids, anything that you can really imagine over, which you'll find in our components store today. Some are free, some are paid, and they have trials of things. But you know, anyone here is going to recognize.
It's the usual crowd, right? Yep. Which is very reassuring.
Yeah, so, and it's growing too. It's not only just these control vendors that we worked with, it's also the community as well. Mm-hmm. That's also building and publishing different controls on NuGet and just on GitHub as well, just kind of sharing their knowledge out there. So. And really, we're just going to go into it.
All right, let's see it.
We're going to see it? All right. So that's all the kind of code that I wanted to have going. And of course, I'm here on a Mac, but I'm inside of VMware running Visual Studio 2013. We also have 2015 support as well. Mm-hmm. We'll have, as well as the Community Edition is supported.
That's right. Community supports extensions, so.
Yep, so we're there now.
We'll examine right into this.
And our free edition starter, which we've doubled the size of the limitation on the applications, support for community edition for a free version will be coming soon.
Sweet.
So be on the lookout for that. So when you install Xamarin, you have Visual Studio installed, you install Xamarin from Xamarin.com. Normally when you go to File, New Project, you're going to see Android mm-hmm. here. We're going to see iOS. So these are all the iOS templates. And we see there's iPhone. And then under here, we're going to see mobile apps. Now, mobile apps are kind of where cross-platform templates live. Mm-hmm. And inside of here, you can create a Xamarin Forms with a portable class library or a shared project based on what version of Visual Studio you have. We'll just create one here for the portable class library. And we'll just call this VS Toolbox Forms. And what I really like about these project templates is it's one click, I get my entire project set up. So what's happening here, it's going to generate my iOS project, Android project, Windows Phone project, and my portable class library and download all the NuGets and everything available mm-hmm. to me as well. I should say that Xamarin Forms, this is spinning up here, supports today iOS phone and tablet, Android phone and tablet, and then Windows Phone 8. Silverlight,
right.
That's the current one. That's 8 or 8.1. You can always upgrade your project, which means your Windows Phone app will run on basically anything, even when 10 comes out, from my understanding.
Yes.
So, and there's other support for other platforms in the future. So,
specifically 8.1 store and phone running a WinRT, and then 10 when that arrives.
Yeah, so ideally, the really nice thing about Xamarin Forms, when we really dive in, you'll see how easy it is to add a new platform. So even if you had just started with only creating just an iOS application, adding Android or Windows Phone, it makes it really easy to extend. So the idea is just everything shared. So one or two lines of initialization code is all you should need.
Yep.
Now, the reason that the team didn't start with RT, phone RT in store, is because at the time, Xamarin Forms came out April last year when we announced Xamarin 3 and all the different bits in there.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, even, I think, 8.1 RT was still developer preview at the time, and imagine development of this started way before that.
Right.
So we needed to deliver something that was out today that developer could ship to the App mm-hmm. Store. So the team's working hard, getting feedback from everyone, and we're going to be adding a lot more bits in there as well. But really focused on phone right now. So if we look at this setup, like I said, this is great. This is what I love about it. My portable class library and just one button click.
Yep.
And what this has done is it's actually downloaded Xamarin Forms from NuGet. So everything is housed on NuGet. So you get all your updates from NuGet. There's pre-release packages. Yep. You can, if you're risky and want to get into alpha early, you can also do that. So it's automatically set up the entire project for me. And it's important to realize that a lot of people ask me, why are there four projects? Well, we don't cross-compile. There's no cross-compilation. We have our own compiler for Android.
Android, iOS, that's phone, code.
And code, exactly.
Okay.
So there's not like a magic switch that it just pumps out an application. They're still the same, just using shared code. So what we can do now is we can actually look at the initialization code. So if I actually go ahead and open the Android project, we can see this is all that it takes to initialize my Android application. Mm-hmm. As I say forms init, and then I say load application. And we'll take a look at what that does, and we'll see that that's exactly the same on iOS and Android. So we say init, load application, specifically where each platform needs to handle it. So our Android application, or our portable class library, where all of our shared codes, our business logic, everything like that, we have this application class. So it encapsulates everything kind of in an application. So what's our main page? Where are we starting at? And then we also have events, so we can see when our application's starting, sleeping, and resuming as well, with some nice overrides. So you can actually manage your application state. So by default here.
And that's a cool feature, that there's an on-start event that I understand that gets triggered when the app starts. And I should know, but I don't have to know at this point in time what that event is called on the three platforms.
Exactly.
I mean, the thing about abstractions is you really should at some point know this stuff, but you don't have to know it to get started to code immediately.
Yeah, the team really thought about, the resume, sleep type of thing, like what is a good name that everyone will kind of...
clear what those do.
Yeah.
And then just, I know we probably talked about this last time, but code that is specific to a platform, does that go in the particular platform project, or does it go in the shared and you do pound ifs, compiler directives?
You could do either way.
Okay.
We're using a portable class library, so no platform-specific code in there.
Okay.
If we're doing a shared project, then you could ifdef that.
So do you have a preference on how to do that? What's your best practice?
I like portable class libraries because it's easier for me to compile sometimes. I can't write code that won't compile, you know?
All right.
But it depends. You know, sometimes it's nicer to have my UI kind of in a portable class library because I just can get IntelliSense really nicely. Mm-hmm. Where shared projects, it's a little bit back and forth. It depends. It's up to you. Usually I like to say portable class libraries are good for sharing across multiple applications, and shared projects are more for this application.
Okay.
So your preference.
All right.
In general. But of course, portable class libraries do have some restrictions, such as how much of .NET you can use, which are almost the same restrictions of, ifdefing, right?
Yep.
So if we just run this application, what we're going to see is our application comes in here. It's going to create a content page from the code behind, and we have a stack layout, and we have a child of that that's called label. We'll just let this be the default, and then we'll create something.
You're using 2013 here?
This is 2013.
Okay, so if you were using 2015, you could use the Android emulator that we ship as part of that, right?
Correct, yeah. You could use the Android emulator that comes from Microsoft. We also have the Xamarin Android player, which runs on Mac or PC, which is based off VirtualBox and uses hardware acceleration. You could use the Android emulators from Google, which aren't so good.
No, you could if you want to. Don't use those.
And in this case, I'm using a physical device plugged in here that's screen mirrored across. That's what I have here. So we integrate directly into the menu, so we can see I have my Motorola device plugged in here. When I select Android as my default project, and we can even double check all of our, configuration managers here. You can come in here and see what this is all set to. And we can just go ahead and run this application and see what happens. We'll run it, then we'll add some pages, we'll do some stuff, then we'll go into a real application and build out something cool.
Okay.
So this will go ahead and compile it up, and this will actually just start. And hopefully we'll see a label. What we're seeing here is a label centered on the X alignment, and it'll say, welcome to Xamarin Forms.
What have you found to be the fastest way to get the app up? Is it one of the emulators? Is it directly to the device?
I'm a device fan.
Yeah.
I'm a device fan. Well, either the Visual Studio, the brand new US emulator, or the Xamarin Android Player is really nice, because that way you can switch between different versions of the OS. Device is always kind of nice on Android, where I think on iOS and Windows Phone, like, the emulators are so good, like, you don't even have to worry about it. So there we go, there's a label.
Yep.
Are you blown away? Blown away. Well, what's really cool here is that there's no other code inside my Windows Phone project, so if I set that as my startup and spin up the emulator 8.1 here, which I think I've been a Windows Phone developer for 4.5 years now or so. I mean, ever since the last PDC, when everything was announced, and like even then, the emulator was fantastic. So.
And the Android emulator is also based on Hyper-V, so they look similar. They've got pretty similar performance. They're nice and fast.
Yeah.
And they ship as part of the product, which is also nice.
Which is very nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here we'll see a nice little splash screen, which is customized. Welcome to Xamarin Forms.
Yep.
Cross-platform label. Perfect.
Yep.
So let's do something a little bit different here. Let's go in and create a brand new page. And here under the templates, we'll see a forms content page. We'll want a XAML page here. We'll just call it page one. And what do you know? There's some XAML. And the default here, it just is putting a label in here as an example. And we could, of course, do something like, you know, hello VS Toolbox. For instance, we could, of course, you know, probably do something a little bit more. Let's put a stack layout inside this. We have IntelliSense as well. If you're using just out of the box, we have an extension to add XAML support. Visual or ReSharper also supports it as well. But let's do something here, such as add a button. And we'll add, you have properties like XName to actually name it. And we'll say button click, for instance. And we'll put text. So there's all the different properties. We have text color, text. I mean, these are all the properties that you would expect visual.
Right.
You know,
yep.
The width request, vertical, everything that you want. So we'll just set the text here.
And they show up in the properties window as well, if you want to do it that way.
That's a good question. I don't think they do yet.
Okay.
No, they do not. Right. We're working on
it. So you're like me. You learned XAML before there were designers. So your default is you just start typing.
You just start typing. And it is important to know with Xamarin Forms there is no designer today.
Okay.
So it's just straight XAML or straight C#, your preference, what you want to do.
Designer is teams hard at work on that?
I have no comment right now. I'm just a lonely evangelist. They don't tell me nothing.
The team's hard at work on a lot of things.
Yeah,
sign them up for it.
Exactly. Yeah, they're definitely hard at work on a lot of things. But let's do. We can come up to our stack, and we'll add some padding here.
I would think that the designer would be a lot harder, because where things show up by default varies across the platforms, right?
It's true.
So if you just put button there, when you translate it to native, you know where to put the button. In the designer, if the button by default is here on one but down here on the other, how do you represent that in the designer?
Yeah, like tabs is a great example, right? You have tabs, some are on the top, some are on the bottom.
So now instead of writing the code once, now I got to look at three different designers. That's not an easy problem
exactly.
to solve.
Yeah. So that's something that we're thinking about in general. And in fact, we can do that here.
You could wind up defeating the whole purpose of giving people three different designers.
It's true, yeah. Yeah. So we can actually do something really interesting here. Let's create like a tabbed page to show that off. Okay, my tabs. And this is going to be like just some C# and the code behind. Create a public, my tabs. And what we can do now is we could say children. So anything that can house subcontrols or anything like that or subpages has a property called children on it.
Okay.
So a page has children, if it's tabbed and have multiple pages, or a stack layout has multiple children. So we can come in here and we can say add. And let's actually go ahead and take this page that we have here, this default page, and we'll go ahead and just make that a new page, so kind of from C# code behind. The public class, say page 2. Say this is a content page. And public page 2. There we go. So we're just going to create two little pages. So we'll say we'll we'll set the content there. Now you can do a lot more in here. You can create all your controls and manage all the state. We just kind of want something to put in. We have some tabs, so we'll say to add two pages. So we'll add a new page one, and then we'll say children.add new page two in there. Perfect. So that's kind of our default, and then we'll reorganize. We'll reorganize our entire application. Say main page is going to be a new My Tabs. Perfect. Now what's really cool is we were creating this in XAML in the code bind. We have a button, we have a label. The natural hello world application is definitely a button that you click multiple times and something happens, right? Now what's interesting here is you could do some data binding, which we'll see in the next example. But here we could actually just access a lot of these from the code behind. So let's go ahead and name, we have button click, and we'll just name this label count here. And what's generated for us automatically is our code behind. So we have our button click. What do you know? We have a clicked event. And of course, this is going to call TouchUp Inside or click on each of the specific platforms. And then we have our little click event. There it is. And then we're just in our code behind. Do an int count equals zero, count plus plus, of course. And then we'll say label count.text. And let's just set that to you clicked plus count. And we can even be fancy. We'll say if count equals, or is greater than or equal to 10, then let's change the color of the label. We have the text color here. And we've even abstracted away color across platforms. So let's set that to green. So super simple. So we got our page, little click event. You could iCommand, you could data bind this all up, everything fancy that you want to do. And that's it. My application here, my new default page is My Tabs. If we go to My Tabs, add two tabs in there.
Yep.
And if we really want to get a little bit nicer in here, we could set the title as well. So every page also has a title property. We'll say this is page two. Oop. If we come to our page one, we can actually set that in the XAML, like you would expect, page one. And now we can go ahead and run this again. So fast. So now here we go. Our tabs, we're in a pivot control up top. This is a Windows Phone application. Back and forth. We see you get the animations. If I click this.
Very nice.
10, we did it. Now it's green.
Yep.
Perfect. Now let's go ahead and set Android as our startup project. Again, we'll go ahead and run this here. I'll go ahead and boot it up, compile it down. Now we have tabs on the top, which is important as well.
Right.
We have tabs on the top. When we click on them, we go back and forth. Again, all the click handling, everything done for me automatically. And the same thing will be true here. Let's give iOS a try. Let's see how this works. Set this to our simulator. Let's make sure our configuration manager is good. There we go. And again, we also integrate directly into the toolbars here as well. So we'll go down here. Let's just recompile this for good measure to see. Now, it's important to know for Android, Windows Phone, everything's right. On your PC, it doesn't matter. And I'm on a Mac here inside of VMware. The important part with iOS development, any iOS development, is you have to have a Mac to actually not compile, but to actually build that package.
Right.
Just because Apple requires it.
Or there are cloud services you can use.
Exactly. That are out there. And it doesn't have to be a crazy super expensive MacBook Pro. You could buy a Mac Mini for a few hundred bucks. Exactly. It's just sitting there building at this point.
So if you're just kind of playing around with it, you should certainly look into one of the cloud services. You can get those pay-as-you-go. If you're doing something serious, you're eventually going to give them as much money as it would have cost you to buy one.
So. Exactly, yeah. Precisely. I mean, that's kind of
nice. You don't have to go out and buy a multi-hundred dollar Mac just to play around with it.
Exactly. Yeah. So here we go. Of course, tabs are on the bottom down here, as you would expect. And if we had icons, the icons would show up.
Yeah.
You click 10 times,
yeah,
boom.
So that's exactly what we were talking about with the designer. How do you handle that?
How do you handle something like that? Yeah. It's all thoughts that the teams are putting in. But as you can see, you know, we're getting the correct views, exactly what you'd expect on each platform.
Yeah, awesome.
Cool. So let's do a little bit more complex, because this, you know, we want to see something in action really kind of happening. So I'm going to open up a default project here. It's called My Socks. This is on my GitHub. I think I like everything. It's like my expenses, my trip expenses, right. My stocks. So this is kind of a nice example of kind of building out a multi-screen application using an MVVM pattern in there. So if I kind of describe what this is doing, is it uses a Yahoo search. They have a nice little stock API that you can pass it a ticker, mm-hmm. like MSFT, for instance. It'll go automatically, pull down that data, gives you a history if you want. And we just want to show that in the user interface here, a nice little search. So what I'm going to do is first let's step through the basics of data binding, yep. if you will. So I structure everything over here on the left-hand side with models and view models. And we also have this Twitter view model that will go and show some navigation as well. But our models here, we have a query, we have results, and then we have view models. So the idea is this is just data mm-hmm. coming from a database, coming from a RESTful service, coming from Azure, it doesn't matter. View models they're view models. They're a model of the view, a representation of what to display. And the idea here is that your views are kind of, they're not smart, they're not super educated, I guess. And nor should they be. They should just want to display data, and then our view models are doing the hard work,
right.
doing what they need. So with that comes the idea of the most important interface ever. Yes. I notify property changed. And so if you're doing XAML development or WPF or Windows Phone, this is going to be 100% familiar for you. Mm-hmm. I notify property change has one goal in mind, to notify somebody when a property changes.
Yep.
And that property could be anything. It could be a string. It could be an integer. And at the core here is we have our auto properties. We have our getters and setters. And we want some method to say, if I change this property, is anyone listening? Like,
right.
you can update. And the idea is that the UI is listening, some framework. And in this case, Xamarin Forms is. So I created this nice method. You know, there's 1,000 ways to do this. And if I go to the declaration down here, we have this nice little equality compare that defaults. Like, did it change? Like, don't just trigger it all the time because mm-hmm. I set the value. But we kind of store stuff. We trigger an onChange notification and then trigger property changed. So if we go down to the bottom here, we can say, this is the event with the property update. Somebody should update my user interface. Mm-hmm. So that's the basics. If you've been doing this before, same code will come across. Now, my stock view model, I have a few of these properties that we can bind to. We have a quote, a company, a year range, a symbol that we can have, a quote, and then, so those are the main data binding points that we have here. And this is all set up. I didn't want to write this from scratch because it'd be
right.
kind of tedious. So we want to look at the UI. Most importantly, we have this thing called get quote. And we see I have a command here. So this is kind of interesting. We have a command. This could be an I command. This is just a Xamarin Forms command that is called get quote. And we kind of expose this in a public getter so we can data bind to it.
Yep.
And a command's goal is to say, when someone executes this command, call this method, basically.
Right.
Trigger this. It's yep. like a trigger. So we'll say get quote command, and that's going to trigger our quote here. And we see we have code lens all crazy, and you can see I just updated yeah. this 16 hours ago. So that's pretty cool. I go off, use HTTP client, I grab a URL, I start parsing some data, and then I'm actually going to set all those properties, which will then, of course, trigger the notification,
yep.
and the framework's going to handle doing all that on the UI thread for me automatically. That's kind of it. The exception happens, we get a little default here, which again is then binding back up.
Right.
And that's it. And we're good to go. Okay. So let's look at our UI. There's none. I have a stack layout, and that's it. So let's first add a entry field. So we're going to enter some text. We'll say placeholder. There's even enter ticker, for instance. So we mm-hmm. could say, let's give it some default text. Well, we're going to bind this. So we're going to do a binding, and we're going to bind this to symbol. Now, what I like to do here is actually take my view model and snap it here. So I get my XAML and my bindable properties side by side so I don't type anything incorrect.
Okay.
It's kind of nice. So the IntelliSense is there. It's not fully 100% you might be familiar with. So for instance, the live IntelliSense doesn't exist yet, but this is pretty easy to put this side by side. So there's our entry field. That's nice. So now automatically, entry has a two-way data binding on here, and I can set the mode if I wanted to, but data entry kind of always is two-way. Let's do a button down here, and we'll call this text. Let's say get quote, or get quote. We can say different properties such as background color. Maybe we'll make that green, for instance. It knows here, so there is some live IntelliSense. We have the different colors on the platform. We could say text color, we'll set that to white. There we go. Oh, text co. There we go, text color. And then we can do a command. So you have command and command parameters, and it's the same data binding context. So we'll say binding, and if I look over at my view model, we can see it's get quote command. So we'll go ahead and do that here. Perfect. So now that says, instead of implementing like we did before, the actual click handler in the background, this will automatically call this method, which is going to call get quote.
That's how you get your event handler out of the code behind.
Exactly. So no code in our code behind. Let's put a little activity. So let's give some progress to this. We'll just put a little spinner in there. We call that an activity indicator. And also, we can see in our get quote, I'm a big fan of is busy. So if is busy, something's happening, then do something.
Okay.
So we'll say activity, and we'll say is running, and we'll bind that to my is busy.
Nice.
Yep. And of course, you have value converters. Everything that you can imagine can kind of be done here. And we'll do is visible as well. Binding is busy. It's kind of the same exact one.
That's a neat trick.
Little trick, right? Yeah, you like that?
I do like that.
Yeah. So there's no reason to show that.
Then you don't, in your code, have to turn it on and turn it off.
Yep, all automatic. Yeah, done for you.
Nice.
And the last thing we'll do is we'll do a label here. So our label will have some text, obviously. And we're going to bind that to our quote, which I'll just double check to make sure that is our quote property. There we go, quote. And we can actually bind all this stuff up. So let's do quote first. We'll say text color. I also have a text color to see if it's up or down,
okay,
to kind of see if it's red or green for the day. And that's kind of nice because the color here we can see is actually color green in the background, and there's a quote color as well. So there's down here we have a quote color, which will automatically update for us. So there's a little bit of UI, I guess, in the code behind, but that's
color,
nice.
Color, quote color.
Quote, oh yeah, quote color. Thank you. Good old typing live code in here as well. And you can have font size, a whole bunch of other stuff in here as well. We'll just use the default. But let's go ahead and add a few more labels just for good measure. And we'll say text, and we'll do binding company. And we'll also do label text equals binding year range. There we go. So this kind of give us almost nearly everything that could come from that service.
Right.
So we have the company, the year range here, and they're all just stacked up. So that's pretty nice. Let's go ahead and save that. Now let's go ahead and see what happens. Well, let's look at the code behind first. And this is what's kind of nice. Look at that. Our page has a binding context,
right,
which is like a data context.
Yep.
We renamed it. It's a binding context. Everything's binding. We pass it a new instance of our stock view model, and we're done. Everything else is data binding, so we're good to go. Now, if we run this over here on Windows Phone, let's go ahead and pull out our Solution Explorer here.
So, yeah, there's some changed names, but if you know XAML and you've done MVVM, then you can come over pretty easily.
You can come over pretty easily on it, exactly.
Some things are renamed, some things aren't there. It's no different than moving from WPF to Silverlight and back again.
Exactly. That's the idea. So, we have a button. We have different colors here. When I call get quote, we get the little progress out here.
Yay!
It's pulled by some data. We're up today, 35 cents. That's good. It's good. And we even have the year range, so we're right in the middle somewhere in there, and that's good to go. Of course, we could then run this over on all the other platforms. So if I run this over here on Android, set that as my startup project. Again, no code was written inside my Android application yet. So we run this here. This will compile up the Android part of it, and then we'll see it launch here in a second. So I think what's really nice is I'm just kind of even prototyping, does my logic work?
Right.
Right. Does it work on all the platforms? Is something going on? Like, what's happening? And that allows me to easily do that. But we can spice this up in a second. I have a little bit of a code snippet. I'm not a huge fan of code snippets, but I do have one that I want to put in, just kind of a finalized UI with a little background image and stuff like that. So here we go. We get a button. We have MSFT, get quote. There's a different little loader indicator here. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how well the public Wi-Fi is inside of the Channel 9 booth. We'll see if it's working. Oh, there we go.
It should be working.
Yep. Yeah. And, see, and we see it actually change. I think it's up 33 cents now, so 32 to 33. So it's, this is live data coming in, actually, in our application. So if this goes out, look at this. Like, yeah. It's updating in real time, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
This is live. Yeah. This is live demo. This is live code.
Cool. So that call doesn't just give you 15-minute lag, so it's literally live.
It's literally live,
okay.
Which is really cool from their API, yeah. So let's go ahead and actually put in a
so
little...
So it looked like every time you click that, our stock went up, so...
That's good.
Sit here all day clicking it.
Click. That's good. Keep it going. Look at that. It is.
Yes.
It's real.
Hey.
All right, let's stop while we're ahead. So let
we
me...
We got greedy, and it came back to bite us.
We did. So I'm going to just go ahead and put in a final version of this here. So I'm just going to go and slap this in there real quick. And we'll walk through it because I've added a few cool features that I want to point out. So it'll look exactly the same. Like here's my entry here. We've added some names on it. Mm-hmm. We have a get quote button with background color specifically to a specific color of green, a button, some labels. But I want to show one thing out because we've added some specific features to XAML mm-hmm. to support the cross-platform of this. So before we had our quote on there, but we wanted to make it actually bigger and use specific fonts on each platform. So we have this way of accessing properties and setting platform-specific properties on it. So in this instance,
and
we
can
say...
Can you do that for every property of every control, or is it only some?
I believe it's nearly all of them, okay. To be honest. There's some things that you wouldn't in general, but
right.
this type arguments, it's going to say, what are you going to pass me? And you okay. can pass me. So for instance, you could... You know, is busy, is running, you could say on make it default turn on Android and turn it off on iOS and mm-hmm. on in Windows Phone. And that's totally as your default. Totally can do that.
Okay.
Specific colors. And this is good when you have to implement something on the different platforms that way. What we do is we say this is a font, and on each specific platform, we'll pass it a font and different sizes. So I want it to be a Helvetica new font on iOS. On Android, let's set it to 40, and Windows Phone, 50. And these are the platform-specific numbers, and it'll figure that
but
out.
You can't go one level down and have something different on iOS 4, 5, 6, Windows Phone 8, 8, 1, 10. Can you?
You could do that from the code behind. You
okay.
could detect that. There's
okay.
some helper libraries.
Okay.
Yeah, so in the code behind here, what I could have done is we have a helper method called... device, and there's different things you can get on
okay.
platform. You can see the OS version. You can start a timer,
okay.
for instance. So there's some platform-specific stuff, idiom. So if it's a phone or tablet on iOS, for instance, you could actually do something different, which is kind of nice. But everything else is kind of the same. I have added a little tweet button here, for instance, so we're going to show that off next. But what I really want to show off is some of our different styles as well. These are new in a newer version of Xamarin Forms 1.3. So this is going to look very familiar to anyone who does styles. You
yep.
can put this in a resource dictionary. You can put it in your application. It allows your designers to design your controls. You can inherit from multiple controls. And what we're saying here is we want specific background colors, height requests, border width, and a text color here. That means you can set this style. So for instance, instead of setting all these properties here, we could say style equals, and we'll say static resource. We have static and dynamic resources. And we'll set that to my name up here, which is button style.
Yep.
There we go.
And you can store those in a resource file.
Anywhere you want.
In the actual page.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're applying the style to both of these buttons automatically. And let's take a look and see what the application looks like right now. So I've done a few things also up here is I also have a background image that I put in to kind of
okay.
make it nice. You can see I've just added a little bit of style, nothing too crazy. And it takes that application, which is just a bunch of items on a list, and it'll turn it into, hopefully, this.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of nice. I click get quote. So go off. Still the same spinner. Has a nice little background, and then nice text lay down here as well,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty cool.
Yep.
If we do this over on Windows Phone, for instance, we're gonna look exactly the same, and we've added, what's interesting here is where does the background image live? And we can see we have some interesting things happening here. So a little bit of bug in the logic, so that's not good. So we can fix that, which is good. We could actually fix the height request. We probably want to get rid of the height request here. Let's try that out. Let it figure it out for itself. But what's nice is that all my styles will automatically go between the different platforms. Right. There we go. Let's try one more time. There we go.
Much better.
Much better. Get quote, just one line of code change and it automatically changes. So yep. I didn't have to change it on each different platform here, which is really nice. So that's cool. Let's go ahead and add one more thing in here. So the first thing I want to do is I want to add some native features to this application. Then we'll talk about Twitter in a bit. So we got maybe another 10 minutes to go here. So the first thing I want to point out is I could write an interface to say text-to-speech. Pass me some text, I'll speak it back. Now, this is a platform-specific feature with the different synthesizers on the devices. Now, built into Xamarin Forms is a dependency service. So if I came to the back, I could say dependency service.get. You can register and you can get. It's a built-in IOC container for inversion of control. But you could do that, and we could write this here on stage. However, we could use the power of NuGet and just PCLs and cross-platform libraries out there today. We have the concept, if I come up to my manage NuGet packages, on my entire solution, is why don't we just go ahead and take a look online for a text-to-speech API. So we have not only the ability to do our component store, which is a hand-created list of libraries.
Okay.
There's always NuGet, which has JSON.NET, HTTP, Azure Mobile Service clients.
So this is looking everywhere?
NuGet's going to look everywhere.
And how it showed Xamarin and Windows first, so it kind of has some logic to know what we're currently in?
I believe so. I'm not sure what NuGet does under the hood. However, what we did is, actually over the holidays, we kind of started this new, imagine that Xamarin Forms is your UI library.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be great if we just had one API to access all the native functionality that's similar? Geolocation, contacts,
right.
things like that. So we created this thing, concept called plugin for Xamarin and Windows. So when I type in plugin for Xamarin into NuGet, what we're actually going to see, and NuGet, as you can see, is super speedy here. That's one thing I hope they can fix in 2015. What we can see is these are all actually NuGet packages with a cross-platform API, such as geolocation, a share plugin to actually share, to access the dialer, device information. If I go to other pages, there's store rating, battery, connectivity. And these all work across iOS, Android, and Windows as well. So the one that, and a lot of these you'll see are from me. I've created quite a few of them. They're all open source, which is really cool. Device motion, so gyro sensors, things like that. But what we want to go ahead and add is text-to-speech. So here's my text-to-speech plugin.
Okay.
And we can see here a little description, Xamarin and Windows plugin to perform text-to-speech. We'll install this in everything. Boom. So let's go ahead and download it off of NuGet for us. And it's going to put it into iOS, Android, Windows Phone, and our shared project. Now, if I was unsure of where to go, I could click on this project information. And this will load the actual detailed information. And this is going to go ahead and load up my GitHub account here, where all of my plugins are located. And there's a whole plethora of them as well out on the internet. We could go in and say, like, text-to-speech, for instance, here. And actually dive into the API of how to use this. And it's simplest, it says crosstexttospeech.current.speak, which can be called from a single platform or shared code. So let's actually go ahead and do that here. So now we can come back to our view model. So in our shared code, after we go out and call to get that information, let's actually read it back to them.
And the page we were just on showed that it worked on store and Phone 8.1 RTF. So this is at the code level. This isn't a Xamarin form specific thing.
Correct. That is a great point to make. So plugins, you'll see plugins for Xamarin Forms, which are made for Xamarin Forms, right. Some controls. However, any plugin for Xamarin, anything.
Right. Okay.
So if you're just doing native development with Xamarin, or just even doing a Windows Phone application, you're good to go.
Yes.
So iOS, the new 64-bit support.
The soon-to-be-announced P-Tone.
P-Tone.
P-Tone 8.1.
Someone could do a pull request.
We hadn't announced yet. I don't know where you learned about that.
Exclusive. Heard it here first.
I think that we call that a leak.
Leak. And then, of course, you have Windows Phone 8.1. Mm-hmm. And we can even see what's actually, I even say like what I'm using. So I use the speech synthesizer, and I actually have SSML support on Windows Phone to do some of this advanced stuff, which is really cool. So let's call into here. We'll resolve out this namespace. Well, each plugin will be a little bit different, of course, just like any library. It's just another library. Yep. Now I've gone ahead and typed up a little bit of what we want to say. Today, this company is up or down, current amount. So we'll just say to speak. And let's go ahead and run that here over on Windows Phone. So one line of code, in shared code.
Yep. You'll need to turn the volume up so we'll be able to capture it on the mic.
Yep. We'll see. I also do it from the Android phone as well.
Today, Microsoft Corporate is up plus 0.375 and is currently at $42.75.
Right, we'll pump it up. We're pumping it up here.
Do it again.
Today, Microsoft Corpora is up plus 0.375 and is currently at $42.75.
Very nice.
Pretty cool. And if we run this here on Android, we're going to get the same thing, but spoken back via Google and the text-to-speech engine there. So what this is actually doing is tapping into the native features, so it's code that we don't have to write.
It's an excellent abstraction.
Yeah. Then, of course, that can be run on anything. So this will package up.
It's a perfect example of one, because I just want the thing to speak. I don't necessarily want to have to understand or certainly code to how they're different.
Exactly. And since it's open source, you can always see how I'm doing it as well, which is nice. So let's go ahead, and this will go ahead and boot up here. Make sure the volume's nice and loud. Again, super speedy internet.
Today, Microsoft Corpora is up plus 0.385 and is currently at $42.76.
Not bad.
Excellent.
Cool. Do we have some time to look at some list views real quick?
Sure.
Or what do you think? Cool. So I did one other thing, is I've added another, there's a lot of NuGet packages in here that we're using already, text-to-speech, Xamarin Forms. I also added a little library called Link to Twitter. It's one of my favorite libraries out there. It's by Joe Mayo. Actually, and uses Reactive, and it's a nice cross-platform way of querying Twitter from PCL or shared project. So what I did is I created a little Twitter view model here, and there's a thing called a tweet. Now, so if we look, peek in here, we can see we have a screen name, a date, a retweet count, an image in here, a date and time created. So kind of what is a tweet? What's really nice is this view model just has a load tweets command. There's some nice consumer credentials and secret codes. But it handles all the Twitter authentication, and it gives you a link query to query Twitter. So I say, I would like to search, and it's going to be a type of search. This ticker symbol, give me 100 back, and it's going to do this all asynchronously there. And then I convert his statuses into tweets and perform a little bit of logic here. So I grab the tweet text, the screen name, I actually grab the URL of the image of the user. The image here, and then also we could actually put it out and say this is the status if I wanted to navigate to a web page, for instance, to see more information. And that's it. So very simple. Like, that's amazing. Like, just 10 lines of code, and here's me searching Twitter. So it's a nice little query, because the idea here is that maybe I want to actually go ahead and navigate to a new page, view all the tweets for that ticker, right? So we can implement this here really easily. We'll add a brand new page, a XAML page. Here we go, and we'll call this Twitter view. There we go. So we can just start right away. We'll just go ahead and do, I'll just be kind of faster. We'll do a stack layout. Of course, we'll do an activity indicator. We'll bind up our is visible, just like we did before, to binding is busy. We'll do our is running. Of course, the binding is busy as well. And then we'll get into our list view, because I think, you know, really the power of Xamarin Forms is the ability to display lists of information and drill down multiple pages. So we have a list view. This is Xamarin Forms list view. And as you might expect, we have item tapped events, item templates, and also an item source.
Right.
So that's going to be an observable collection that it's going to automatically refresh to. And here, this is going to be our tweets, which is what we saw on our Twitter view model. So here we go. Here's my tweets observable collection here. And if we actually go into here, we're going to bind up just our date and our text. That's what we want to bind into each, and then obviously our image as well. So as you might expect, we have a list view dot item template. And inside that item template, you put a data template. And all of this is extremely well documented on the website. Okay. As well, we have really advanced, not only on just Xamarin Forms, but Charles Petzold, if people might know, he's wrote amazing XAML books. He's awesome. He works with us here at Xamarin, and he wrote amazing XAML documentation. He gave talks at Evolve, and even has a book that we'll show at the end, just on Xamarin Forms. Now, built in to Xamarin Forms are two default templates, a text cell and an image cell. This is kind of a nice way of just kind of getting started. You can customize. I could just put my own custom data cell and bind everything up. We're going to use an image cell here. We're going to take the text property, and we'll do a binding of each item here to the text. We'll have a detail, and we'll do a binding here to the date. So let's actually look at this again one more time. If we go into our tweet, what did I say we're going to do? Date and text, and image.
An image, yeah.
So put the date first. We'll do the detail. It's a little bit longer to the text. And Xamarin Forms also has a way of automatically downloading and caching images for you as well. So we'll do a binding here to our image. And it's just a string, and Xamarin Forms handles downloading, caching everything, if it's a URL or if it's an embedded resource or something like that. So that's it. Like, that's putting a list of data and we're good to go. The only other thing that we're going to have to do here is do a little bit more in our code behind. So what we'll do here is we'll want to pass some information to our view. So we'll ask for the ticker that's here. We'll create a var, a view model. We'll say it's going to be our new Twitter view model. And this will take in our ticker. Let's go ahead and resolve that out. Pass that information in. Our binding context of our page, we'll actually go ahead and set that to the view model. And the reason that I'm saving the view model out here is that I actually want to actually call that load tweets command as well. I'm just going to call off to it. I could do some data binding on load and whatnot. Just kind of easy to do it here after I set my context. So now we're going to need to navigate across. So in our code behind here, I'm going to want to actually link up to my tweet event. So here's my tweet button. We're going to add a little click handler. You could do this with iCommand and the iNavigation. We're just going to do it in the code behind here as well. What we want to do is we want to say navigation. So every page has a navigation context. Right. And this allows you to do some things, such as either push or pop or add modal dialogues onto your page. So we can do here is we can say push async, and it wants a page. So we'll give it a new Twitter view, and we're going to pass it that data entry. So if we look at our stocks view, we can see that I've actually exposed the symbol as ticker right here in the X name. So that means I can access it from the code behind. So we'll go ahead and say ticker dot text and pass that text across. Like I said, you could do that in the code behind, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if I run this application, it's going to explode. Because if we look at our app, and we noticed this before, is I'm setting a main page.
Right.
And if you know kind of how the platforms work, most of them have a concept of some navigation context, navigation frame. We have to do the same thing here in Xamarin Forms. So we can actually create a new navigation page and pass it the root page. So this gives our entire application an actual bar on top. We can add toolbar items and actually navigate to and forth there. Because if I didn't do that, this navigation would be null.
Right.
Exactly. So now what we can do is we can start debugging here. We'll pop this up first on our Android, and we'll take a look on Windows Phone and iOS as well. There we go. Now, there are ways of hiding this bar as well. It's just a single line of code, but what we can see here is we can say get quote. It's going to read it back most likely, but we'll go ahead and go and click
today,
on
Microsoft Corpora is up plus 0.41.
All right, so now we're going to go get our tweets, and there's a bunch of tweets coming live from Twitter. Anything that has $MSFT, which is a Twitter-specific way of searching on that. Then, of course, you could click on one of these, get click events, and then navigate to a web page or anything like that as well. If I run this here on Windows Phone, exact same thing. Let's take a look here. But, of course, it's the Windows Phone specific list. So if we put these side by side, for instance, we say get tweets. We can see the little loading is nice up top here. It's downloaded all the images for us automatically,
Very nice.
And we're good to go. We take a look on iOS. We'll give this a spin, see how this goes. We'll start up the simulator here. Good old awkward silence of connecting to the simulator and booting everything up for the first time. And will it work? It does. So now we can say get quote here. Now it doesn't actually play back the text because it only works on a physical device. So we're here on the simulator and it's noted in the plugin. But if I say tweets here, navigate across, and there we go.
Yeah.
Now how nice is that that I just rapidly prototyped this out and I could actually add more features to it to and from, but everything is handled from me right here, including, you know, navigation. If I change this to, let's say, Facebook, for instance, and get a quote, it automatically handles pushing and popping that up, getting tweets. Of course, now this will be for Facebook as well.
Yeah, that's awesome for prototyping. It's awesome for kind of quick and dirty apps. There's a big range. Now, if you are using it for prototyping and then want to build each of the UIs natively, any tips for easier ways to do that?
Sure, yeah. So really, if you follow that MVVM pattern, so if we look at this in general, taking all of my models, all of my view models, all of this could be brought over into a Xamarin native application. And in fact, if you're already kind of doing this inside of your Windows Phone or WPF applications, that could all be applied here. There's other popular frameworks for Xamarin Native development, MVVM Cross, MVVM Lite, for instance, support
the data binding. I was thinking specifically about the views.
So for the views, once you start going, so if you go Xamarin Forms or Xamarin Native approach, like on the native side of things, we have great documentation on how to get up and running and implement the platform-specific UIs for that layer. But really, you're going to be sharing this. And then in each application, like we've seen in previous episodes of ES Toolbox, you'll just be creating each interface separately.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That is awesome.
So that's it. I think, is there any other questions?
Nope.
You're good.
All right. Cool stuff.
I know we wanted to just put it up here. We're going to have all the links and a lot of other things in the slides extended. But I did want to mention, this is a free preview edition from Xamarin and Microsoft Publishing, which is a book from Charles Petzold. You can get it on iBooks, Google Play, Kindle, Amazon, anywhere. It's free. And it'll take you through the entirety of XAML, of Xamarin Forms. And there's a second edition, a second preview edition that adds all the newer features that have come out since this preview release, but everything is still applicable. Yeah. So if you're looking to get up and running, this is a great resource.
It's a good book. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Cool, awesome. All right. So hope you guys enjoyed that. You know, I think last time you were on here, we said, you know, check it out. Great way to build cross-platform apps. We talked about the native approach last time. Mm-hmm. For Xamarin Forms, if you've done the native, now you're moving over to Xamarin Forms. You know, it might take a little while to get used to it. It doesn't take anywhere near as long as you might think to get used to the XAML you guys are using. If you're coming over from WPF and Silverlight, a couple hours and you've got it down.
Absolutely.
So this is just a great way to get started building cross-platform apps.
Absolutely. And you just go to Xamarin.com. Xamarin Forms is included in any paid subscription to Xamarin. You have a 30-day free trial when you go to Xamarin.com. And then, of course, the project templates are right there, right inside of Visual Studio for you. And that's it. Yeah.
Right.
Developer.xamarin.com for all documentation. The team has done an amazing job.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So this is one of four.
One of four.
We'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.